Hello and welcome to the segment, the final segment of how to maximize your influence without power, position, or authority. You need to start implementing these things, and a big part of this too is your mindset that you have more power and position and authority than you realize in every situation. Because you can convince people when you're not in charge. You can persuade even though you're not in the right position or you don't think you have all the cards. You can lead. Even though you're not the boss, that means you can lead the boss. You can persuade the boss to do what you want them to do. You can influence others even when you don't have the authority or don't think you have the authority. You can win even though you're not the coach. You can negotiate even when you're not included. That's what we're talking about, the key factors to your success. Now, the big one we save for last is you need to understand credibility. Credibility is important and critical to your success in every aspect of your life. Because when you have high credibility, there's very little persuasion resistance. So let's talk about three things you can implement that will increase your credibility, instantly increase your credibility. Credibility can be how truthful you've been in the past. It can be your history with that person or a history with somebody else that person has talked to. It could be your experience together. Credibility can be before you meet, after you meet, and it can go up and down. It can fluctuate, and everyone knows you can lose credibility relatively fast if you're doing it the wrong way. But it's obvious that it's a critical factor, and it's also part of the subconscious triggers that we've talked about. So what's happening? Well, they're looking at your appearance. That's important, how you look. Do you look the part? How's your appearance? Also part of that too is, do you have the right qualifications? So if you're trying to influence people, maybe when you don't have the authority or you don't have a long track record with that person, do you have a degree, a qualification, a book that you've written, success in the past, something you've done, could be part of it. Also, having somebody introduce you as a referral that says, hey, they're great, they know what they're doing, increases your credibility. Being on time increases your credibility. Also, the way you walk into a room. When you look at a CEO or a successful lawyer, the way they walk into a room, even if they're rushed and they're hurried, they're not throwing papers around or throwing their briefcase around. They're in control. They're very calm. Even if they're nervous on the inside, you cannot tell. In fact, when we train people to do public presentations, we let them know right up front that I'd say almost 99% of the time that the audience has no idea how nervous they really are. So the way you come into that room and the way you introduce yourself or have somebody else introduce you is a big factor there. And another one too is, don't say too much, because I think you were excited to meet somebody. They had a lot of credibility. You thought they were smart or you thought they could help you out, but as they kept talking and talking and talking, they persuaded you that they weren't very credible and that you didn't want to do business with them. And again, confidence here is going to be very important, and let them do a lot of the talking. You're a consultant here. You're listening. You're asking questions. You're there to help them out. Now, a key factor here that we need to understand with credibility and trust, and this is new in the world of persuasion and influence, is that when you meet someone for the first time, or even if you've been working with that person for a long time, that when you're talking about a new project, you want to do business together, or whatever your influence attempt's going to be, we notice that it actually increases your credibility when you can reveal some type of a weakness and turn it into a strength. Because when you reveal a new project, or it's the first time you've met that person, let's take that example. You're meeting somebody for the first time. What's happening is they're looking for reasons not to do business with you. They're looking for a weakness. And here's what we're finding out, that if you don't reveal a weakness, they're going to assign one to you anyway. Because that if you're too good to be true, if what you're talking about is too good to be true, it's too good to be true, and they're not going to do business with you. So what we're finding is if you could turn some type of a weakness into a strength, it increases your trust dramatically. Let me give you some marketing examples. Avis Rent-A-Car. We're number two. That's a weakness. They're not number one, but we try harder. Listerine, the taste you hate twice a day, meaning it's nasty. We see this with cough medicine and other things. I tell you right up front, it's nasty, but it works. They reveal it right up front, and people appreciate that, and it actually increases your trust and your credibility. 7-Up. It's not a Coke. It's not a Pepsi. It's the Un-Cola. Then there's L'Oreal. It's expensive makeup, but you say, because I'm worth it. Volkswagen in the 60s had an ad that said, this was for the Beetle. Remember the Beetle? It says, VW will stay ugly longer. Okay, that was their ad. It wasn't the prettiest of cars. They even had another one that said, this car's so slow, you'll never get a speeding ticket. Okay, that was their ad. People appreciate that. What type of weakness can you reveal and turn it into a strength? Maybe if you're talking about a new project that you want to introduce at a corporate level, you let them know, sure, it's going to take us an extra 2 hours a week for the next 8 weeks, but then after that, it'll save us 5 hours a week for the rest of the year or the rest of for 5 years. Reveal it right up front. If I was talking to somebody, let's say I was an entrepreneur, and I was talking to somebody and they had made the choice between me, one-person company, and between a large company with 50 people. Now, they're going to find out eventually. What most people tend to do is they try to cover it up and don't want people to know. They're going to find out. Reveal it. Gain more credibility and turn it into a strength and say, you know, I know it's between me and the XYZ Corporation, but you know what? It's just me. What that means is you won't get lost in the cracks. You won't fall through the cracks. It means you have my cell phone 24 hours a day. I'm going to answer it. This is what I'm going to be working on. This is my main project. You won't get bumped around from department to department. You will be working with me. Taking that weakness and turning it into a strength will go a long way. So that's something you can think about with credibility is they're going to find out anyway. That's what they're thinking about anyway. Reveal it. Earn more credibility. And find a way to see that that is going to help them out in the long run. So that's the first one. Really enhance your credibility and be able to turn any type of weakness into a strength. The second thing is understanding the power of stories. I know as I monitor top persuaders that they are incredible storytellers. And we spent some time talking about this. But you have to realize that stories are power tools. They grab people's attention. If you're losing them, you tell a story. They simplify complex ideas. It makes it much easier for the people to understand. And the beautiful thing is that they persuade without detection. What I mean there is that when you tell a story, people grabs their attention and they put themselves in the story. Now, make sure it's a relevant story of somebody that was in the same situation that was a little hesitant, but they decided to do it anyway, and this is the results, this is what they found out, here is the benefit, this is how much money they made. And they put themselves in that situation, and we know with top persuaders is they help people persuade themselves. Because a lot of times in situations, especially when you don't have a lot of authority maybe, or you don't have a big track record or a lot of credibility, when you attempt to persuade that person, you don't have the relationship, human nature is they're going to resist you. Even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, they will resist you. Your goal throughout this process is to persuade without detection. Stories is a power tool here. And they also demonstrate who you are. Because a lot of times when you meet somebody for the first time, you want to let them know that maybe you're honest or you're credible or you're educated or you've done this before or you've had a lot of success. And the hard thing is if you start giving them a laundry list of all your accomplishments, all the things you've done, now all of a sudden you're cocky, arrogant, and a braggart. And that's not going to help you out. But if you can tell those traits or those experiences in a story that's relevant, then all of a sudden they'll assign that trait to you. You won't have to tell them that. And that's why we really focus on stories. And people remember stories more. They trigger more emotions. Now, with this story, understand that it's better if it's a personal story. You might not always have one, and it's okay to borrow stories from other people as long as you give them credit. And when you tell that story, paint the picture, make it come alive. As I interview prospects that have talked to a persuader, one of the things that they say in common is that it was like listening to a movie. They made it come alive. It sounded so simple. That's by painting the picture. And practice your stories, just like jokes. You've heard a great joke before. You told somebody, or somebody told you. You laughed. You tried to tell somebody else, and you bombed because it's in the delivery. Stories and jokes and humor, all in the same boat. It's all in the delivery. So practice it and make sure there's a purpose. You're not telling a story just for fun. There's a purpose. There's a relevance behind it. Having that relevant story will really help out in what you're able to do. Focus on that. Think about stories. Collect relevant stories. And a lot of people get stuck here, well, I don't have any stories. Well, you do, number one. If you go back and start thinking about business and family and other things, you could come up with a list of some great stories. You could probably go to the internet and borrow some great stories as long as you give them credit, but make sure they're relevant and you really practice the delivery. This is a power tool. If you want credibility, you get it through a story. Tell them the story about the time you helped so-and-so or you were in the similar situation and this is what you found out. Tell them about the story when you were working on a certain project that was very similar and this is what they found out, or you were on this team or you were helping this person through a challenge or problem they were having. You tell the story, it increases your credibility. Because again, when you list all the things on paper or out loud that should give you credibility, even though it's true, a lot of times it's much easier, much faster with the story. When you do tell that story, what we're finding out is as long as it's believable and you're authentic, that's when it really has power. Now, if they're sensing you're making up a story, then they're pulling it out of thin air and it really didn't happen to you, it'll have the opposite effect. And that's true with all the tools of persuasion and influence. If it's not working, it's because you're not authentic, you're not believable, you haven't connected, or they don't trust you. I was working with somebody, it was actually in a seminar situation. She says, well, I tried that before and it didn't work. It was a different tool of persuasion. And I said, well, the tool works. Now we have to look on the inside to see, okay, what are we doing wrong? Are we not connecting? We're not building trust? Because just like the law of gravity, it works. But you need to practice it. Everything you try the first time doesn't always work perfectly, but focus on it. Work on your stories. The next one is that you need to understand that you can borrow credibility from somebody else. When we look at books, the endorsements on the back, when you go to a website, the testimonials on the website, when somebody introduces you, when somebody gives you a referral, all these are borrowing credibility. Because you have something to gain. But when somebody else says, yeah, they're great, do business with them, then all of a sudden, the resistance goes down. So they will always believe somebody else before they believe you. And I'm not saying that it's fair. I'm just saying that it's reality. So you get a picture of a satisfied customer. You get an endorsement. You get a testimonial. You get referrals. You get somebody else that they respect to introduce you. That's all borrowing credibility. And a side note here is that if you're concerned that people ask you, well, how long you've been in business or how many deals have you done or how many times you do this, that doesn't come up unless you don't act confident. And what we're finding is that if that's your greatest fear, that's what they're going to ask. And so part of this too is your demeanor and the way you act. What I want to focus on is these testimonials. You can never have too many of these. When Saturn was around, the car dealership, you'd go in, they had Polaroid pictures of every person that's ever bought a car. That is instant credibility. So what that does is not only does it increase your credibility, it enhances your image. It decreases people's skepticism because people are very skeptical now, and it's a form of social validation. If you've listened to the law of social validation, it's one of the 12 laws of persuasion. The challenge is this, that when you get a testimonial, first thing is you should expect it. Now, you always ask people for a testimonial. You always ask them for a referral and expect it. When you've delivered something above and beyond what they expected, when you solve their problem, people are more than happy to give you an endorsement, a testimonial, introduce you to somebody. Ask everyone. Make it as easy as possible. What does that mean? If you ask somebody, says, hey, can you give me an endorsement and a testimonial? And they say, sure. And you do something like this. Great. Get it to me when you can. Hello, it'll never happen. you pull out your phone or a digital camera and say, okay, let's record it. Let's do it. Or can you write it for them? And the answer is absolutely. You can write it for them. Now you show it to them. Well, this is our experience. You said to give you endorsement. Can you make the changes? And they'll change a few words and all of a sudden it's done. Because people are busy. They might not feel confident in their grammar. They might have other issues and things going on. Make it easy. Write it down. Give them a piece of paper. Record it. Call your voicemail and have them record a message or whatever it is. Make it as easy as possible. And again, I can't say enough, you never have enough of these. And you'll see this on a website, for example. Someone might have 100 testimonials. Now, they're not going to read them all, but some people will. But just the sheer numbers borrows credibility. Of course, you'll put the good ones at the top. Testimonials are powerful. Now, the challenge is you have to look at the right ingredients. Because when you say, hey, can you give me a testimonial? People will write beautiful things, but it might not help you out. You need to coach them on what you're looking for, whether you're writing it or they're writing it down, or the questions you ask. Can you answer these three questions? On videotape or you're emailing it to them, there are certain ingredients. Because I have found people love to give testimonials, but if you don't help them out, if you don't coach them, you get things you really can't use. Now, they sound good, and it's nice, and it's a good pat on the back, but you really can't use them. And if you're going out of your way to borrow credibility through testimonials, do it in the right way. So there's six things that if you have all six of these, it's a powerful testimonial. Now, you're not always going to have all six, but the more you add, the more powerful the testimonial is. And here are the six areas. The first one, top of the list, is you need some type of income claim or a benefit claim. I made an extra $24,000. I now sleep through the night. I have more energy. Any type of income or that what's happened to them, the problem you solved, get it there. Get it down. That's the most important thing. Another thing you want to try to implement is, I am like you. My son was acting this way, and this is what happening, and this is the solution, and this is what happened. And then all of a sudden, they're like, well, hey, I have a son like that. Or, wait a minute, I had the same problem. Or, wait a minute, I couldn't sleep at night if I am like you. Or if you're marketing to, say, chiropractors, or you're marketing to whoever it is, if that person is also a chiropractor or also in that same demographic, that'll help. And the more information you can put in there, the better. Because if you have a testimonial and it just says, Bob, people are so skeptical, like, Bob who? Why did they make it up? So the full name is better. Full name and a location is even better. A full name, a location, and a photo is even better. And a video is even better than that. So the more information, the more visual you can make it, the more powerful it will become. Make sure they're short and specific. If it's a long testimonial and you want to put it all on the wall or on your website, make sure that you can highlight the areas. If you were going into another department to ask for their help at work, and then you say, well, you know, so-and-so at XYZ Corporation said this, this, and this, and this is what they found out, you've borrowed the credibility, and it gives you more power to influence. Make sure your testimonial is believable. Always truthful, but sometimes the truth isn't believable. When someone's made an extra $50,000 in 2 months, even though it's true, will your market believe it? And the last one, the credibility of the testimonial, meaning, do they know that person? For example, if there's a person in that industry or a person that they know or a famous person, a famous author, any of those, if they've heard the name before, that enhances the testimonial and gives it more credibility. So the list again is some type of income or benefit claim, number one. Number two, I am like you. I have the same problem or I'm in the same industry. Get as much information as possible as far as name, location, photo, or video. Make sure it's short and specific. Make sure it's believable. And make sure that you can find the credibility of the testimonial, somebody they know. Very rare you'll get all six. But the more you can get, the more powerful it will become. So what I want you to do is think about this. And think about these tools of persuasion. Now, one tool is that great persuaders that we talked about ask three times more questions. And the way you handle questions, anticipate all the questions that you're going to get, because that is a big factor of your credibility. Make sure if there are no questions and they're silent, you can maybe throw out another question or say, well, hey, here's one question I get here in this type of situation. Make sure in a group situation that if there's a question hog that you really control that situation, because you can lose credibility that way, and be prepared for the tough questions. Because sometimes they want to see what you're made of. Now, the most important thing here with credibility is that if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to, and you say, I don't know, sometimes that's okay. But if they expect you to know the answer, you probably want to say something like, you know, that's a great question. Let me get with my staff. I'll call you tomorrow. You know, that's taking us off course. Let me get with you at the break. Those sort of things, to where you're buying some time, have them repeat the questions, another way to do that. Again, sometimes you'll say, I don't know, but if they expect you to know the answer, be very careful. You might want to buy yourself some time. So here's your homework. This is what I want you to do. I want you to gather three testimonials from people you've done business with, people that you've worked with, even if it's a different industry, a different company. They could say, you know, I worked with Frank, and he was honest, he was a hard worker, and he solved my problem. You can use that for anything. Or at least go out there and gather three people that somebody can call up, and they can say, yep, it's a good person, they'll work really hard, they will solve your problem, they will do this, this, and this. Again, it could be something completely different that you worked on in the past. It could be a separate company, a separate department. It could be a separate industry or a separate company. Or whatever it is, you can still borrow that credibility. It doesn't have to be exactly the same. So I want you to start thinking about getting those, number one, and also setting up people, or, hey, is there anybody I can talk to? And if you need to borrow that credibility, they can say, yeah, I've worked with them. They were great, and they really helped me out. Focus on your credibility. Let me say it again. When you are credible, when you come across as the expert, there's very little persuasion resistance. Why would there be? You're the expert. You're the consultant. You're there to solve their problem. They know you can do it. You know you can do it. And then everything falls into place. Work on this. It'll make a big difference in your trust. It'll make a big difference in your income. But it'll make a big difference in your ability to influence when you don't have that authority, when you can persuade people, when you're not in the right position. It makes a big, big difference.